Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. I'm talking about Labour. And does the Labour Party hate the free media in the United Kingdom, particularly Keir Starmer? And it touches on the Labour Together story. So Labour Together is a faction within the Labour Party, which helped get Keir Starmer elected leader of the Labour Party, and obviously then became Prime Minister a few years later. It turned out that Labour Together received £700,000 in donations, which they failed to declare. So I don't know how they didn't get into big trouble for that. You can even go to prison, because that is a major donation. If it was a few pounds, that'd be different. Because since Tony Blair, a Labour Prime Minister, we have to know where the money is coming from and who's paying who in politics, so we can join the dots and see if the people have been sort of selling access, selling policies, and so forth. So Starmer got himself elected a leader, and some media outlets did some digging and they found out about this. Journalists from Declassified UK, which is sort of an indie media left wing thing, always attacking Labour from the left. Grey Zone, The Guardian, which actually on Fleet Street was Labour's biggest supporter, but is a critical friend, The Sunday Times and so on. These are all respectable publications, even if they're not mainstream ones. We're not talking like publishing tittle tat or whatever, just it's not the gutter press. So in 2023, the Labour Party rather disliked that, and they hired a US company called APCO Worldwide, paying them £36,000, actually not very much money in that world, to do some digging into these journalists who published these stories, which were highly disobliging to the Labour Party, and suggesting that really the Russian espionage agencies, they'd hacked into Labour somehow, found out this and given the media to them to run, particularly the Times. Now, Russia used to really respect the Times. They thought it was the equivalent of Pravda, as in, you know, the journal of record, when that's actually, they didn't grasp what the free media was, that the United Kingdom doesn't have one. I mean, I know there's the court circular, but that the Times is free to be critical of the government, to support the government, whatever. It used to be sort of useful for Times journalists in the Soviet Union in the old days, who were treated with undue respect because of that misunderstanding. I think these days Moscow knows what's what in terms of the media. So I don't object that much to what Labour did. And it's not illegal. People say, oh, it's cyber stalking. Okay. You know, if people publish information on the internet, they're asking the public to read it. That's what publish is. You find this curious, attractive, interesting for whatever reason. Yeah, you have the right to read somebody's LinkedIn profile or whatever articles she has published, publicly available information, to ask people and so on. So, yeah, Labour's in this very partisan game of politics. They would like to make their side look good. They do opposition research. They regard some journalists as hostile. I mean, these journalists were not necessarily hostile, but they found a good story and ran with it. Because if any party had £700,000 in undeclared donations, that is a major story and there's public interest there. Yes, it's beneficial for the public to know about unethical or illegal behaviour for politicians and so on. So they were looking into journalists like Henry Dyer, Harry York, Gabriel Pogrund, and so on. The idea is they would give it to the General Communications Headquarters to see if there was some sort of whatever, any espionage link, but there wasn't. Anyway, so there's no sense that they breached the Official Secrets Act, that they've been agents of a hostile power or something like that. But it's really Labour's behaved in an ethical way. And Josh Simons, who was a head honcho of Labour Together, he's now a cabinet office minister, as he's not in the cabinet, he's just one below that. So the National University of Journalists has a chilling effect on the freedom of the press, and they're trying to harass them and so on. I mean, I think maybe this is too harsh on Labour, actually, because they would like to find a way to discredit the journalists, because they couldn't argue the substance of the story. The Grabman case, it's true that Labour did get these donations and didn't declare them, and that reflects very badly on Keir Starmer. Qui facit per alium, facit per se. Okay, ultimately he's responsible, of the Labour Party and particularly Labour Together, which was his faction of it. So that reflects very badly on them. And he's supposed to be cautious. He's supposed to be a man of such probity, and he totally isn't. As you can see, there's the public image and the reality are two completely different things. So, they have not been able to smear these journalists, much though they would like to. I know politicians have their pet journalists. I will give you a good story in return for favorable coverage. Or Lord Geoffrey Archer, one-time Conservative peer, if a critical article appeared to a journalist, this could affect our relationship. I won't give you interviews. I won't give you useful gossip. So you've got to cultivate people. And now, Keir Starmer, he was obviously Director of Public Prosecutions. And much though I revile him as an evil and thoroughly despicable person, I do respect him because he was a high achiever in his professional life. No doubt about it. As a barrister, was he a QC? I mean, he thought, well, I mean, he's an anti-monarchist, shouldn't accept it. But he did, and indeed a knighthood. So in charge of that, I thought they'd call it the Crown Prosecution Service, but I suppose the title is DPP. Okay, so the how many prosecutions are there in England, Wales each year? It's got to be in the tens of thousands and the hundreds of thousands. So no, he can't know the particulars of every case. He has to direct overall policy. Yeah, and he doesn't make each charging or indeed any charging decision himself. Some journalists were prosecuted under him, but it's not because he was declaring war on journalists, because it's like saying that he prosecuted bus drivers or he prosecuted teachers or farmers or unemployed people. There'd be people from all walks of life doing whatever job. And if there was strong evidence they had committed crime, if they reckoned it passed the threshold to that there was a reasonable prospect of conviction, then and it was in the public interest, yeah, then they would go ahead with the prosecution. And some of the journalists, but some of the Leveson inquiry, the phone hacking, unlawful payments to police officers, and some of the police got in trouble as well for giving away secret information to the press. There's particularly the News of the World that way. The News of the World, I think it dissolved in about 2011 after about a century of publishing and being one of the biggest tabloids on Fleet Street. So I don't think that there was sort of a war on journalists like some like to say. And he's known for being circumspect and saying, don't prosecute unless we think there's a very good chance. Because partly it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money. We put people through the mill who are innocent, and it is reputational damage to the CPS that you're dragging these people to the courts when there's a flimsy case. And so it undermines public confidence in the whole system. But yeah, there was some high profile prosecutions. But you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, ooh, Jimmy Savile, why wasn't he prosecuted? Well, I mean, the CPS doesn't gather evidence; it's the police. And when Savile died in, was it 2011? About five pieces of intelligence from the police computer, and it was far too feeble to prosecute. I mean, obviously, we know that that was the tip of the iceberg. But the CPS, they can only act on what the police give them. And so it was really the police that were negligent rather than secure. So, I'm obviously very suspicious of Labour's totalitarian and dictatorial and control freak instincts. A talk of statutory underpinning about 10 years ago, the loathsome Chukwu Umunna, I'm very glad to say he's out of politics now, talking about that, what regulation of the press, that, wow, that you can't say that. Anything that is disobliging to the establishment, to Labour, Conservative, that be prosecuted, you wouldn't be able, your publication wouldn't be allowed. That is very worrying indeed. You see what they'd like to do to our media, and it's these demagogues in the Labour Party. They're the ones we need to be worried about, not the free media, because I know Labour's instinct. They itch to control. They have a passionate hatred for freedom. Want to take away our right to speak our mind, to do what you want. To buy and sell things, to go where you want, to do things which don't harm other people, when they're the ones who really want to cause direct and extreme harm to the most vulnerable members of our society. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.